Thanks for being here for hour number two of Catholic Answers Live on this Wednesday. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, and I'll be with you again tomorrow for a Q&A open forum for 2 hours, and then Cy, you'll be back in good hands with Cy on Friday. But I am blessed and honored to be behind this microphone again, and grateful to have you joining us for this broadcast. In this hour, we are going to be talking about the healing power of Christ. And as always on Catholic Answers Live, your calls really drive the program, your questions. So you can start dialing right now. It's 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about how Jesus still heals today. Nature heals, of course. They work together many times. So if you have any questions on how to seek God's healing, how to pray for healing, what if you pray for healing and you don't experience the healing, at least not the way that you hope that you would? You can call in and ask about that. We can talk about the connection between healing and the sacraments. How does God's grace work with science, medicine, things like that? Sister Miriam James Heidland is here to talk with us about this today. She is a former Division I athlete who had a radical conversion and joined the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity in 1998. Sister's story has been featured on EWTN's The Journey Home, at the SEEK Conference, and other outlets. She holds a master's degree in theology from the Augustine Institute and speaks extensively on the topics of conversion, authentic love, forgiveness, healing, and, of course, sports. And Sister Miriam's podcast, Abiding Together, can be found on iTunes, and her book, Loved As I Am, can be found on Amazon. And she tweets at One Groovy Nun. I love that, sister. Wow, I haven't had a groovy nun on the show for a long time.
Well, here we are. Here we are. I'm delighted to be here with you today.
Yeah, and as I shared with you before the program, I have just received so much of God's healing in my own life, so I'm happy that we're talking about this. And dear friends, again, if you've got questions about healing or anything having to do with this topic, start dialing now. We'll get to your questions in a little bit here. 888-318-7884. Sister, let's start real basic. I mean, it seems like we live in a broken world because of original sin and so many other factors. It seems like everybody needs healing. Is that, would you say that's correct? And if so, what's the first step?
Oh, we all do. Yes, all do. By process of just living life on this earth, every single one of us has been wounded. We've been wounded through the sin of others, through our own, through life. And so everybody needs to be healed. Everybody needs to be brought into the wholeness of Christ. And the first step is many times, just like in any other program, is admitting that we need it, which sometimes is the hardest thing.
Well, it sure can be, but I think once that step is overcome, a lot of great things can happen in our lives. And
just
talk real foundationally again, too, about how Christ still does heal. I mean, a lot of people, we see the miracles in the Bible and we think, well, that was, 2,000 years ago, but Jesus is still in the healing business, isn't he?
He is, because Christ is alive and well. He is still healing us, and he desires to bring us into communion, into integration, into wholeness, into himself. And so he is always seeking to bring us into communion with him. And that's what healing is being brought into communion. It's not just like a fringe ministry in the church where, oh, those people over there, they need healing. It's all of us in every aspect of our life, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, our masculinity, our femininity needs to be integrated and brought into Christ. And that's what he does. He does it in such a beautiful way.
888-318-7884. It's Catholic Answers Live, our Wednesday second hour. Sister Miriam James Heidland is here talking about the healing power of Christ. Are you hurting right now? Are you broken? Are you feeling less than whole? You can certainly call in and we can talk about how God still heals. If you wonder, where do you start? Where do you start in terms of seeking God for a particular healing in your life? Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's an emotional healing that you need. Maybe it's, spiritual. There are a lot of ways. God can heal anything right now. And it's not like we're going to, you're going to get a healing when you call in, but you can ask, kind of how to go about seeking that healing and what it means to live maybe in the meantime, maybe with suffering. We can talk about that as well at 888-318-7884. How does Christ heal in this age and in every age, sister?
Mm-hmm. He heals us through many ways. He heals us personally. He heals us person to person. He heals us through the sacraments. He heals us through his word. He heals, he still raises the dead, and he brings the sick to life, and he heals all kinds of diseases. He performs miracles. So yes, I think sometimes we have this idea of God being far away, or that what, like what you're saying, like what we read in the Gospels was 2000 years ago, but Christ does those still to this day. And he does them in your life and in my life. And it's just a matter of us opening our hearts to see where he's coming close to us and allowing that process to happen.
Yeah. And on that idea of opening our hearts, sometimes that can be the hard part, can't it? Because when we've been hurt, sometimes we don't want to let anybody in. And even God, it seems counterintuitive sometimes. How do we talk about how we sometimes just block the doors of our hearts to even letting God's healing come in?
Well, that's usually what happens to us, you know, and you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, and after they turned away from God, they hid. And so many times our first instinct, whether it's our own sin or the sin of others against us, is to hide. And our wounds are painful, so we seek to self-protect. And sometimes we think that if I, you know, through areas of unforgiveness, or, you know, if I could just build a strategic wall around our hearts, that somehow we would survive. And many times we do that. We survive childhood, and we have all these, you know, great ways of coping. And then, you know, those don't work anymore. And really what Jesus is doing is he's bringing us into humanity with himself. Is he's, Christ is naked and vulnerable. Christ has no self-defense mechanisms. He has no self-protection. He is who he is. And that's what it means to be truly human and truly alive. And so that's what he does in our life. And you know, all of us have presenting symptoms in our life. We have relationships that don't work, or we have areas of our life that we don't want to think about, or memories that come back that we don't want to deal with. And it's in those very places where Christ is already waiting, and he's waiting to bring us to life. So whatever's happened in your life, it is not beyond the power of Christ's healing power, and he desires to bring all of us, all the parts of our hearts to life.
Yeah, as you're listening right now, maybe this is resonating with you. Maybe you've lived with the pain of emotional traumas or even physical ailments or anything for a very, very long time. And maybe God is waiting to just answer your prayers and heal you right now. Maybe you've been praying just every day, almost incessantly, and think, you know, God is not hearing my prayers. How do you make sense of that? You want to ask Sister about that. So many different angles we can take on this topic of healing today. The number is 888-3187-7884. We can talk about, and I'm going to ask you this, Sister, if a caller doesn't, about the importance of the sacraments to healing in a little bit. But, you know, in Scripture, we see dramatic instances of Jesus healing. I mean, these are raising the dead to life, for example, and a lot of other, maybe less dramatic things, you know, the blind gaining sight, the paralytics walking, and so forth. And this can make it seem like Jesus is no longer working healings in our lives today. And you've touched upon it already, but how can we just kind of look around us, look around the world in which we live, and see the healing that's taking place, not only around us, but within us?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Christ still does those miracles even today. And, you know, it's unfortunate in American society, we don't hear that a lot. But you hear in places like Africa, in South America, where people go on mission trips to pray for healing for people. And people are literally being, you know, the blind are seeing and the deaf are hearing and the dead are being raised. And there's a really great book written some years ago, I think called Raised from the Dead. And it chronicles like so many saints that we know, saints like Teresa of Avila, St. Patrick, who have chronicled instances of raising people from the dead. And so those things do happen, and God does heal us in our life. And sometimes he does it in very radical ways, and sometimes he does it in small ways. But there's a wonderful, my mentor is named Dr. Bob Schutz, and he talks a lot about this area of healing and restoration. He talks about, you know, wherever there's love, wherever there's authentic love is what heals. And authentic love is the only thing that heals broken love. And so when authentic love is in place where God is, healing is occurring. And it happens sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, but it always happens. And so just like anything else in life, that it sometimes it takes time, right? But it does occur. And so God is doing that right now in our midst.
Yeah, as you're talking, of course, I'm thinking of the, I don't know where it is in Scripture. I'm not as well versed as Tim Staples is. But when Jesus puts the mud on the man's eyes, and then he can see sort of dimly, and people look like trees and so forth. So how important is that for us to appreciate as well, that, you know, God has his timing for everything. And
yes.
He may say, okay, I'll give you a little bit right now. Let's see. Let's work with that. And then kind of, you know, advance us along in steps like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because see, healing is a relationship, and every healing in the gospel is always about relationship. Christ never heals people and just, you know, sends them on their way as kind of fixing. I mean, Jesus doesn't come to fix us. He comes us to bring us into relationship. And so every healing you see always has the outflow of being brought back into relationship. Even the lepers, they're brought back into community. They're brought back into communion. And so, yeah, God doesn't want to fix us. He wants to bring us into relationship, and he will do what he wants to do in that regard of how he goes about doing that, which is sometimes mysterious for us, right? But he does do it.
Well, we have some calls coming in we are going to get to in just a moment here. It's Catholic Answers Live on your radio with Sister Miriam James Heidland talking about the healing power of Christ. Your questions are coming up at 888-318-7884. I have to ask those of you who are listening right now, have you checked out our online sale yet at shop.catholic.com? We have hundreds of great Catholic resources on sale. And here's something special that just started today. For a limited time, we're offering free shipping when you spend over $75 in our online shop. That's right, free shipping. And that does exclude bulk book offerings and is valid only in the continental U.S. You can visit us today at the shop.catholic.com and check out all the great savings that await you there.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
For many families, another year of floods, fires, and devastation have left them on a long journey towards healing and recovery. This Christmas season, the Knights of Columbus invite you to help victims of natural disasters rebuild their homes and communities, one family at a time. Visit kofc.org/relief to learn how you can keep Christ in Christmas by sharing the hope of the season in a time of great need.
Okay, we do want to get to your phone calls about healing here on Catholic Answers Live. It's something that Sister Miriam James Heidland pointed out. We don't hear about it on the network news so much, but just go to Lourdes or somewhere and you'll see all the proofs of miraculous healings. But those are just the kind of the dramatic ones. In our daily lives, we need healing in a lot of different ways. And so if you'd like to join in with a question, 888-318-7884. We will start in San Antonio, Guadalupe Radio Network listener Griselda. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Sister Miriam James Heidland.
Hello,
Griselda. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I was telling the screener that a few months ago, and I hope I don't cry again, but we found out that my father has stage 4 cancer. We know it's not curable, but he's come to terms with it, and he knows that God's will be done. And I feel the same way, but yet I feel this... Excuse me, great sadness, and I don't know how to explain it. It's not that I believe that God can make miracles if that's his will, but why do I feel so sad, and how do I heal from this?
Oh, Griselda, I'm so sorry. You feel sad because you love your daddy, and that's a beautiful thing, and that's okay. And that's okay, sweet girl. It doesn't mean you don't believe, or it doesn't mean that's part of the process. And I think being very honest about that and asking the Lord to come into that and preparing your dad to go home, he's going home and he's going to be healed. He's going to be healed forever. But it's true. It is hard. And I think just being honest about that and asking the Lord into that and just, you know, as a family, sometimes those are very sacred times. You know, when my dad was dying of cancer, that was a time when a lot of our family secrets came out and a lot of brokenness was revealed. And, you know, my dad went home in peace because of that. And so even though it's a tremendously hard time, that it can be a tremendously beautiful time as well. So please know my prayers for you. And just as you guys prepare to bring him home, that the Lord brings him home, that all of your hearts would be open and during this time.
Okay.
Yeah, and Griselda, beautiful answer from Sister. And yeah, I would just tag on to that very quickly, and I know Sister would wholeheartedly agree. Just invite the Holy Spirit into this. Say, come, Holy Spirit.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Holy Spirit, direct this entire drama as it unfolds, and ask for healing in different areas, wherever it might be needed, but ask for joy. Ask for that. Father Wade, Sister Wade, Father Wade Menezes on in the first hour, and yeah. He said when he walks into a hospital room of a dying patient with his collar on, and the family there are believers, he said there's a sense of joy. There may be sadness and the weightiness, but Griselda, beautiful things can come out of this. I've seen this with the death of both of my parents and my sister, unfortunately, a couple years ago. So what do you think, Griselda? Just ask the Holy Spirit to make this a beautiful experience for all of you.
Okay, I can do that. But, you know, he is, I mean, just as joyful this can be. And
amen.
I'm glad he's joyful, but I still have this sadness in me.
Yeah. That's normal, and that's very natural, and it'll come and go in waves, and that's part of the grief process, and it's important to let that happen, and you'll find that you're going to find joy too, but it comes in stages. So I just think I like your honesty there about that, because that's very true. Yeah.
Okay, Griselda.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
God bless you.
Thank you. I still pray when I think of, I pray, but I still cry when I think of my sister's, untimely, but it was a beautiful death.
Yes.
She'd been away from, she had not practiced the faith for about 40 years, 35 years, and she died with the sacrament. So what more could you want in the end? So thank you, Griselda. Jerry is in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. You're up next, Jerry, with Sister Miriam James Hyland.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
Since I listened to your talk on Lighthouse Media about to know your story, I appreciate it. That was very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question about, I'm a healthcare provider, and I pray for my patients before I walk in and see them. As I wash my hands, I say a Hail Mary for them, but I say it quietly. And I'd like to pray more in front of my patient with them for their issues. What advice can you give to healthcare workers who they want to do that, but they're kind of apprehensive to pray with their patients?
You know, I think sometimes, and I don't know if you work in a Catholic hospital or not, or a clinic or not, but, you know, it's amazing because people, when they come to you as a patient, they're vulnerable. And many times they're scared. And, you know, as you're listening to somebody, you're listening to symptoms, but you're also listening to, like, the root issues, because, as you know, symptoms are always linked to something deeper. And sometimes just having somebody say, you know, if you can kind of intuit that they would be open to it, you ask the Holy Spirit, just say, hey, can I just pray for you? Or how could I pray for you today? And I honestly, I've never... And I'm a nun. I've never had anybody say, please don't pray for me. Sometimes people say, I don't know. But just saying, you know, I think it's such a kind gift, because you're just offering them a gift of a blessing. And sometimes just asking somebody, or if they are Christian, saying, hey, would you like to pray about that? Or could we just ask the Lord to come into this? You might be surprised at how can I bless you? Everybody wants a blessing. And it's really amazing when we open that door, what can happen.
Good. Well, very good. Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly the same thing. Thank you, Jerry. If all doctors and healthcare providers did that, what a difference that would make. What do you think, Sister?
Yes. I mean,
that would,
yes.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's true.
Yeah, I mean, God is the creator of all things, including, of course, life, and yet he sometimes probably feels kind of locked out, especially at those, very intimate moments of dying and death and so forth. Okay, Jerry, thanks again for the call. That'll open up a phone line. Talking about healing here with Sister Miriam James Hyland on Catholic Answers Live. She is a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and she lives in Corpus Christi, Texas, and she's graciously giving us her time on the program today. So we will go to Daniel, who's in Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Daniel. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Good. I got you on speaker. So my question is maybe two-part, maybe not. I'm not sure. You mentioned earlier about when an individual experiences heartache or bad situations or hardships in life, and they fall away from the Lord. What specifically, what strategies, what techniques should a person undertake to get the Lord back into their heart? And what tangible evidence should we be looking for to know that he's we're going the right path and he is in our heart?
That's a great question. And well, we know if you're a Christian and you're baptized, we know objectively God dwells within you because you're ontologically changed. So that's just whether you feel it or not is not really the point. Like God dwells in you and he's created you. Like he's the creator of who you are. And so for example, as Catholics to embark back in a life of grace, we want to go to confession first and foremost, but asking the Lord saying, Lord, you dwell in me. I'm your creature. I'm your child. Reveal yourself to me, like open my heart to you. And so it's not a matter of like, does God dwell in me if I feel it or not? God dwells within us. So it's just a matter of us being aware of that and allowing God to speak to us through that. And so how do we know? We know that God dwells within us, but how do we know God's in a sense effective in our life is I'm looking at the fruit of my life. Am I allowing God to open my soul? Am I living a life of virtue? Am I being led toward what is good, true, and beautiful? Or am I stuck in areas of sin or things like that? So just like Jesus says, a tree is known by its fruit. So like what's the fruit of my, it bears a lot of different fruit, but like, what is the fruit of my life bearing? And that's kind of how I can tell, am I following the Spirit of God or am I not? Am I following something else? And that will be a really telltale sign of the, what's your life, what fruit is your life bearing? Does that make sense?
Sure. So what you're saying is seek him through prayer and worship and of course through studying the word, right?
Well, yes, but if you're Catholic, I mean, one of the things, if you've been away from the church or even if you haven't, I mean, a sacramental confession, going to confession often is one of the best healing things you can ever do for yourself. So if you're ever away from the Lord, I would recommend that first and foremost, because that brings the life of grace back into your soul. And we know that anything you go to confession for is forgiven by God and you never have to wonder again if God forgave it because he does. And that allows the life of grace to flow back in our hearts, which allows us to bear good fruit.
Okay, Daniel?
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate your time.
All right. You'll be in our prayers, brother. Thank you. 888-318-7884. Well, that may be a good lead-in just to briefly pause on the call, sister, and talk about the healing power of the sacraments. You mentioned, going to confession and how healing that can be and how, unfortunately, so many people don't avail themselves of that sacrament. But talk for a moment a little bit about how God's grace is alive and active in all of the sacraments and can heal us.
Well, all the sacraments bring us into communion with God and they each heal a different part of us. But the sacrament of reconciliation itself is a healing sacrament and it does. It heals us of our shame. It heals us of our sin. It heals us of our woundedness. I've been on the road of healing for 12 or 14 years now. And I've done all kinds of therapy, all kinds of 12-step meetings, like just every kind of thing. There is nothing that could compare to a sacramental confession and receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, because he brings us into communion. He heals the wound of abandonment. He heals the wound of rejection. And so especially in those two, I mean, baptism brings us into his heart. Every sacrament is ordered toward healing, toward bringing us into communion with God. And there is nothing to compare on this earth with the sacraments that anything else can bring.
Talking about healing today, the healing power of Christ on Catholic Answers Live with Sister Miriam James Heidlin. You are welcome to join us. We have one phone line that is open right now, 888-318-7884. We will continue with your calls. Going to James in Indiana, watching on Facebook Live. Hello, James. Welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. First of all, I wanted to tell Sister Miriam that I really appreciate her ministry. I followed her pretty much on YouTube and different other areas, but anyway, my question, I was talking to a friend today and I just feel like my prayers aren't getting answered. I try to trust in what the Word of God says, and it just seems like I'm not getting answers, and I suffer with depression, and that's one of the key ones that I've prayed about. And so I'm just wondering, if I'm doing something wrong or not enough faith. I'm really not sure.
Oh, James, my heart goes out to you. I know depression, I hear you have suffered myself for that many years, and I know those are really hard. So it's not a matter of am I doing it wrong or things like that. And I would wonder, I know we only have a short amount of time here, and I don't want you to force you to be too vulnerable before the world, but like we talk about our prayers not being answered, and I wonder at the root of that, like if it's like a healing for something, or is the ongoing depression something that is underlying something else? And I think there's many roots there, but I think if you have a counsel in your life or somebody that can walk with you, that can kind of flesh out the whole story of what's happening, because depression is telling us a story and there's many reasons why we have it, but there's many roots to that. So I just want to continue to just encourage you to ask the Lord to open your heart, and to remain open to Him, because He's working in you. It's not you doing it wrong. It is not. That's not true. Yeah. God is speaking in your heart. And I know sometimes it's just mysterious to us, is it not?
Right.
James, I, again, sister mentioned, you don't want to make you too vulnerable or anything, but if you're comfortable sharing, I mean, have you sought out, you know, counseling? Have you sought out maybe, you know, medication, some, these sorts of things that can really assist the healing power of Christ?
Yes, both of them. And in fact, right now I'm struggling with the medication that I was on. It worked for quite a while, and then it kind of stopped working, and then they raised the dosage up, and still not really working.
And that can, and that can be a real trial. And I just, to urge to continue to work with your doctor to find something that works, and just to stand before the Lord in the cross and just offer Him your suffering and offer that to Him, because He takes it and He's with you. Like, He's right next to you. He's with you. You are not alone. You are not alone.
And James, you will be in our prayers in a very, very special way. And if you want to further talk with any of the apologists at Catholic Answers about that during the weekday hours, business hours, you can call 619-387-7200. Still got a ton of phone calls we're going to get to for Sister Miriam James Heidlin on the healing power of Christ today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. We clear them up on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
And I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, and you can find me and my co-host Debbie Giorgiani on most of these same EWTN stations again tomorrow at noon Eastern Time and Monday through Friday at that time on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie. And there is a replay on many of the same stations at midnight Eastern Time. So I certainly invite you to join us. And thank you for being with us here on this hour of Catholic Answers Live as we talk about the healing power of Christ with Sister Miriam James Heidlin. And back to your calls, which is what we want to get to. Brian in Kentucky. Brian, listening on WJOR. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. I was interested to I was lucky enough to go to Mass recently, and the priest spoke about how we can ask for healing as we go to communion. And shortly after that, I ended up reading a scripture passage where the lady touches Jesus' tassel and just thought if she could simply touch his tassel, she could be healed. And I thought about how the chalice is holding the precious blood and the precious body is being held. So that's basically Jesus' garment. And the thought of touching it or actually receiving the Lord in that way, I don't know. I've been Catholic all my life, but the thought was so profound. She simply touched his garment and was healed. We get to receive our Lord in person and for a healing that, I don't know, it shook me. It was like a conversion of just the thought of it. I know we can't expect to, I guess, an automatic healing, but the healing that we can ask for every time we go to Mass through our Lord is just, I don't know.
Yeah, sister.
Amen. Oh, amen, Brian. That's it. That's exactly it. That's why we say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Like, that's exactly it. Like, Jesus come. I think it's St. Alphonsus Liguori said, if we were open to all the grace of every Eucharist, like, because it is Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if we were open to every grace, all we'd have to do is receive the Eucharist one time and we'd be saints instantaneously because it is Christ himself. Now, we all have these defense mechanisms and we have areas of sin in our life, but that's exactly it, man. And you can expect immediate healing. You can expect all kinds of healing. I ask Christ to heal me every single time I receive him because he is love and love is healing. So you have hit the nail on the head. That's exactly how it works. That's exactly what he wants to do for us too. He's like, what do you want me to do for you? Like, he's so kind. Christ is so kind to us and he just loves to be invited in and he just comes near us and he brings us into communion. So I love that. I love that that struck you very profoundly and I hope it continues to speak to you because you're on to the truth of the whole thing.
All right, well, one more thing. I've been to Divine Mercy Sunday, celebrations where the priest will wrap his garments around his hands so that he doesn't touch the monstrance. I wonder why that happened there. Yet anyone that's giving out communion will simply be touching what's holding our Lord with bare hands. Is there some symbolism there? Do you know or why that happens sometimes?
I think you're referring to like the Eucharistic procession. I believe that's a humeral veil that the priest will use. He'll wrap the monstrance in a humeral veil. I'm fortunately not a liturgist, so I don't know. I don't know the symbolism behind that particular thing. So you have to ask somebody much wiser than I in the areas of liturgy. But yes, that does happen, and it is a sign of great reverence as the monstrance is processed around that the humeral veil covers the bottom of the monstrance. But yeah.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for joining us. And you received a great grace in that revelation of the healing power of Christ in the Eucharist. Hold on to that, brother. And every time you go up there, just ask him for more. Ask him for more
Amen.
Of that. Thanks, Brian, for joining us. All right, Maria, listening on Redeemer Radio in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Maria. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for taking my call. And hello, Sister Miriam.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just making a comment. Sometimes people ask for prayers and we pray, maybe we make a novena, but you notice that maybe they don't have faith, they don't have the humility, and then when they get what they asked for, they are not grateful, they don't thank God for it. I think sometimes... Just as it happened during Christ's life with his apostles and as he walked this earth, there were people who didn't go back to thank him, like those 9 lepers. And I think we really do that. We don't go back to thank him because we lack humility and we don't have faith.
That's true. I think it's Ignatius of Loyola that said ingratitude is one of our deepest sins, right? Is because we forget. And so I agree with you. When we have our hearts full of gratitude, everything changes. And so God is the giver of everything good, and He loves us. So and amen, right? So the more we are grateful in the big things and the small things, especially, the more our hearts are open and the more the Lord desires to pour into us. So that's very true. We should always be very grateful.
Anything else, Maria?
Yeah, I just said that the question about why the priest holds the ostensorium with that humorous veil, because the ostensorium is made of gold, and I think it might sweat on the hands, especially if he has to walk a long distance in the heat.
Yeah, there could be several reasons why. Yeah, but yeah, you have to ask a liturgist. They would tell you.
Thank you so much, Maria. Bless your heart. You're a beautiful soul. Thanks for calling us here on Catholic Answers Live at 888-318-7884, talking about the healing power of Christ. If you have any questions for Sister Miriam James Heidland, how do you seek His healing? We've had questions about what if you don't think your prayers for healing are being answered? How do you persevere? How do you maintain peace? How do the sacraments play into God's healing in our lives? What about medicinal means and counseling and things like that? 888-318-7884. Sacred Heart Radio listener is next in Ohio. Elise, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. I appreciate your ministry so much. With Healing Jerry, I appreciate your ministry too that I get to listen to. But mm-hmm. I'm just real fascinated with this whole topic of healing and something you said about that like you see it more in other countries, and I've heard that before, and just feeling like is it because we just have so much, you know, materials that we don't feel like we need it. But I did have an experience last week where I had a surgery, eye surgery, cataract, and usually it heals up right away. But with me, I had to keep going back to the doctor, you know, and it wasn't healing. And then last week when I went back, he said it was, he was kind of impressed with the improvement. And well, I had gone to a healing service and mass a few days before that, and you know, had prayers, and I've just been praying for a long time for a healing for someone to give people faith. Mm-hmm. You know, so many kids nowadays just don't have faith, and anyway, but I went to the healing service and the mass, and then the next day I went to the doctor, and he said no, it was no improvement. But then the next time I went a few days after that, so that's why I wondered, it could take a few days, I guess, to heal. Mm-hmm. But I just I don't know, just, you know, trying to pray that so many kids don't have faith, and you know, something to give them faith. And then also the whole thing with that you see it in other countries where they don't have so many material things, that is part of it too, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things happening there. I know it's very interesting. It is true in certain countries where they're materially poor, and that we would call them, you know, impoverished countries, they have such a rich faith. Like, it's amazing. It would blow us absolutely away. And it's not just our abundance of material things, but it's just our also kind of like our intellectual landscape and how we see the world, and just kind of the ways the different thought ideologies have infected us of how we think about faith and how we think about healing. And so it prevents us from really asking, I think, many times of, Lord, you know, come and heal us. And so, yeah, I say continue to ask for that and ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to heal your eye. Ask the Lord to heal all the parts of that, and just to see continually what happens, you know, and what God will do in that. But yeah, you know, just and asking people to be receptive to the faith and praying that their hearts would be open to that. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I said to the doctor when he said, oh, he was really impressed, amazed at the improvement. Mm-hmm. And I said, you think it's a miracle? And he said, well, maybe, you know, but you know, so I'm just like, praise God, you know, but,
amen.
I don't know, like how you tell that, or, you know,
Yeah, well, there's many ways you could, but God heals us through many ways. He heals us sometimes directly, but he does heal us through doctors, and he heals us through medicine, and he heals us through counseling. And there's so many ways that, because he's so good of the ways that God heals us. So any healing ultimately does come from the Lord. It just have different vessels, but it comes from him because he's the one who brings us into communion.
Thanks, Elise, for your phone call to Catholic Answers Live. Great to hear from you. Have a blessed evening there in Ohio. More of your calls coming right up. Just a reminder, if you get EWTN, be sure to tune to EWTN Live tonight as Catholic Answers Senior Apologist Jimmy Akin joins host Father Mitch Packwood to discuss how the Bible is a Catholic book. And for many of you, that's right after this show ends, so make sure to tune in. It's definitely a don't-miss episode of EWTN Live tonight with Jimmy Akin of Catholic Answers.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I've got a few things here and there that I've learned along the way. I'm always studying history, and I love studying history. So I try to bring in some of the historical perspective, especially at a time in our history when people don't know much history anymore.
Open Line with Father Mitch Pacwa, tonight, 10 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
All right, let's get back to your calls for Sister Miriam James Heidlin on the healing power of Christ on Catholic Answers Live. We'll go to Lafayette, Louisiana. Bill, you are next. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Sister. Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I work in the church, and the past couple of years have been a little discouraging. I mean, there's the national issues, international issues, but locally there's been, just in, by the nature of my work, I'm face-to-face with a lot of the dysfunction of the church a lot, and I noticed myself getting jaded and cynical. And it kind of came to a point today because I ran into an old friend who also works for the church, and she just seems so happy and unjaded. I'm like, are we in the same church, you know? I'm recognizing that there's something in me that needs healing, because of course the church has sin, and of course the church has issues, so I shouldn't be surprised, but like, there's something in me that needs to be healed if I'm not going to become jaded and cynical. So I don't know. I was just hoping to get your insight on that.
Yeah, I know. I think all of us, you know, I think Bishop Barron talks about seeing how the sausage is made. So I think all of us that work for the church, you know, you see a lot of beautiful things and you see a lot of ugly things. And quite frankly, we see that in our own hearts, do we not? And yeah, it is. It's been a difficult couple years. And I think it's going to get, you know, in that regard, we're going to be challenged in those areas. So it's a matter of like, where does the enemy of our hearts come to steal our joy, right? To steal. And many times it does, it taps into our own stuff. And so I don't know, like I said, I won't ask you to tell your story on air, but like, if you could sit with the Lord for a second and just say, Lord, what's this about? Like, what is the root thing of like, what is so discouraging about this? Is it the moral failure? Is it, what is it? And just trying to get an idea of kind of that whole culture within your own heart. And then asking the Lord to speak into that and going back, Bill, like go back to your first love, like go back to your first love of Christ. Like he's called you to himself. And what, you know, the thing is that in spite of all of our brokenness and sin, the church is the bride of Christ and she will not fail. She will not fail. And the gates of hell will prevail against her. No matter what we do to her, she will triumph. And so I think it's really important for us to go into our own hearts and to commune with the Lord and say, Lord, because all of us get discouraged at times. And like, what is this about? And Lord, give me your courage. Give me your joy. Tell me what's the next right step for me? But bless your heart. Yeah, I know it's not easy. But we need warriors on the front lines to continue to preach the good news. And so thank you for doing that.
What do you think, Bill?
That's awesome. I appreciate that, Sister. Thanks.
Yeah. And I don't know, Bill, if you've, Sister, I'm sure you've heard this, Bill. I don't know if you've heard the phrase, you don't leave Peter because of Judas, you know, I mean, Judas created scandal, but you know, you don't leave Peter in the truth because of that. Had you ever heard that, Bill, before?
Yeah, I think working with Judas day in and day out there was kind of wearing on me.
Well,
yeah, and it, but, yeah.
Go ahead, sister.
And maybe there's some things that need to happen there. Like, yeah, so that's a whole other conversation. But maybe God's asking you to do something, man. Like, seriously, I don't know. But it's true. And, you know, the church, because of human sin, has always had brokenness, and it will continue to do that. But thanks be to God that at the end of the day, it's Christ, that we are wed to him, right? We are wed to him through the church, but it's him. He's our bridegroom, so...
All right, Bill, thank you for your call. And God may be giving you an opportunity for whoever this is, or if it's a number of people, you know, prayer and fasting maybe on their behalf or something. So thanks for your service, too, to the church, Bill. We appreciate that, and I'm sure the people of God do as well. Suzanne is in Carmel, Ohio, listening on The Rock, 1260 AM in Cleveland. Hi, Suzanne. You're up next on Catholic Answers Live.
Good evening. I've been praying for back healing and to be able to walk normally again. And someone recently told me that God knows what I need, and I just need more faith and quit begging. And I feel like when I have my devotions at night that I'm begging. And is that wrong?
Oh, no, you're not begging, sweet girl. That's your dad. He's your father, and he loves you. And just like any good father, of course he knows what his children need, but he loves to hear your heart. And like, I don't know your story. I don't know the situation with your back or things like that. Many times, you know, we've got one symptom and it's linked to all different kinds of things. But this is a father who loves you, who delights in you, who wants to hear every part of your heart. And so you just keep asking him, and you ask him to speak to you, and he delights to do so. He delights to do so.
Right. Thank you very much.
Very good, Suzanne.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for joining us. Nicole, hold on. We had an off-air question. Anonymous sister could not remain on the line, but I think it's a very important question, so I'll ask that to you on behalf of this caller. How can I support my fiancé in his healing from sexual addiction to self-gratification? He receives the sacraments frequently, but feels hopeless because he's been struggling for a long time. How can I offer help without being overbearing or seeming judgmental?
That's a great question. I'm a recovering addict myself from a different addiction, and addiction is very complex because many times what's happening is there's a presenting symptom. So in your fiance's case, whoever this is a sexual addiction, but whether it's addiction to alcohol or food or Instagram or anger, whatever that is, it's always linked to something deeper. So many times as addicts, we try to manage the symptom and we say, okay, I'm going to go to confession and that does heal. But then I'm like, okay, I'm going to try harder. But what's happening is your heart is always trying to tell you something. So your fiance's heart, there's something happening there that's leading him to turn to that addiction, but it's the root. So I always encourage people to ask the Holy Spirit, what's the root? What's your story? Because it's your story that's trying to tell you something. That's why we keep going to that addiction. I would highly recommend the book for anybody, any listener. The number one book I recommend across the country at every place I go is a book by Dr. Bob Schutz called Be Healed. And it is a book on the wounds of the human person, of the journey of the soul, of the union with Christ. It is the best book I've read on just healing in general, but especially in these areas of like, all of us need to ask ourselves, like ask the Holy Spirit, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because all of us have a pattern of life that tells a story. And many times it's driven subconsciously by our woundedness and by our pain. And so that book, Be Healed, really sketches out the human soul and how to heal from that. But I would say offering your fiance that book and just asking them, like, are they getting counseling? Because there's a whole nother issue being told there. It's not just about the addiction. It's the root. And as long as the root is active, he will go to that addiction. So it's about healing the root and what his story is.
Yeah. And on that note, sister, I think it might be helpful for this caller and for anyone who is a spouse or a loved one of someone who has an addiction to self-gratification, pornography, whatever, that it's not a personal thing against them. You know, sometimes, you know, a wife will feel like, you know, my cooking isn't good enough, or I don't fold his clothes well enough or something, but it's an internal problem, right? So people should not take it's hard not to take this personally, I'm sure, but maybe a word of encouragement for her about that.
Yes. And I think especially for women and men whose spouse or significant other struggles in these areas, and it can be, and sometimes even the person is blamed for it. And you have to understand that addiction, you know, there's a great saying that you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you can't control it. Okay. So it's about that person's journey, and they must seek help, and we can help along that journey, but we can't do the work for them. So that's otherwise it's codependent. So they have to get into a program and a systematic area of healing where they're taking the responsibility for their own actions, but also looking inside, because what that says to us is an area of deep pain. And all of us have our addictions that we go to when we don't like how we're feeling. We want to run away, or we want to reinforce our own self hatred. So it's just telling us a story. Okay. So yes. So it's not you personally. It's that person's journey that they need to walk with, that journey with the Lord and with somebody else who can help them.
Okay, Anonymous, thank you very much for that. And please maybe offer in the thought that, you know, he's receiving the sacraments frequently. So that's a very good sign. And really, as
Keep
we know, sister, the grace is in the fight, right? The grace is in the fight.
Oh,
if we roll over and don't fight. Yeah, so he's in a really, actually, it's strange to think. He might be in a very good place, and God can really work in his life at this time. So thank you, Anonymous, for that. Okay, let's see. Nicole dropped. I don't know if you want me to... ask you her question, sister, or we can spend our last few minutes just putting a little bow and ribbon on top of this conversation.
Yeah, well, why don't we just continue our conversation about healing? That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you've got something on here on the notes. If a person is struggling to heal, how does honesty play a role in allowing Christ to heal us?
Well, that's where God saves us, in honesty, and that's the first step. And like we talked about earlier, many times it's tempting for us to hide our wound or to kind of turn away from it or to shy away from it. But it's only really when we're willing to walk into that, ideally, you know, with the Lord, but with others as well, that we can receive His healing. And we heal from what we feel safe to heal from, and so we heal often in layers and in stages, you know. So. Yeah, that's just really important to finally tell the story. Sometimes it's a matter of us finally telling our story to somebody who can hear it and who can love us in it. And just that in and of itself, I was just listening to a podcast on that very topic of Holocaust survivors that finally told their story. And they found years later that their health actually improved because they finally let those toxic memories out to somebody who could hear, not just anybody, but somebody who could hear and who could receive them. So there's a really huge power in the sacraments of confession, but also just walking on that journey, because there's a great saying in the 12-step meetings that we're only as sick as our secrets. Right? We're only as sick as our secrets. And many of us are very sick because we have a lot of secrets. So allowing the Christ healing light to come into those is transformative.
Yeah. And the power of the community, you know, the body of Christ,
yes.
You know, having a support team around us, you know, a lot of people, we withdraw into ourselves because, like you said, we only heal what we feel safe in healing. But how important is it just to have, you know, real strong support around us, spouses, family, friends, counselors, the church, the sacraments, not isolating when we need healing.
Exactly. And that's exactly right, Jerry. And that's what the enemy, the Satan, loves to tell us, is once he wants to isolate us and tell us we're the only one. And that's where we like, I'm the only person that's struggling with this. I'm the only person that feels like this. And that's not true. It is amazing. Just as I travel the nation, speaking to people from like priest convocations to teenagers, to parish missions, to healing retreats, to, oh my gosh, all kinds of stuff. It is amazing how we all share the same story. And so it has different nuances, but every single one of us struggles with shame and fear and all these kinds of things. And we all want to be happy. We all want to encounter Christ. And when we can finally be honest in those areas, it's amazing just the power of how that brings us together as people, that we are all people on a journey, all in need of a Savior. And amen to that.
Amen to that indeed. Sister, thank you so much for your time today. And we had Father Wade Menezes on last hour, and he took the opportunity to let our listeners know about different things going on with his community and things like that. And so how can people find out more about your community and the things that you're doing personally, but also your sisters in the community?
Yes, you can check out our website. My community is the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and our website is solt.net, S-O-L-T.net. And we have our missions up there and kind of where we are in the different dioceses and in the world. Like I said, I'm on Twitter at One Groovy Nun. Our podcast website, Abiding Together, also has my speaking schedule on it, so I'm probably going to be in a city near you. But we do a lot of different things as a religious community in the nation and across the world, and just bringing healing and hope to people in areas of what we call deepest apostolic need. So,
And I have not apologized, haven't seen your book yet, but I'm intrigued by the title, Loved as I Am. How would people benefit from reading that?
Yes, Loved as I Am is a book about the human soul and about the journey of love. It's set up the way that theology of the body is of the, you know, original man and kind of where we are now and our life in the future. It has my own story woven throughout, and it has discussion questions. It's a short book on purpose. So, and my desire, whether it's used as a book study or whether you read it on your own, is when you close the book or when you finish a chapter, you say to yourself, okay, I want to tell my story, or I want to grow in intimacy with Christ. And so I call it like a tiny scoop of ice cream on the journey. So yeah, if you find it on Amazon or in your local bookstore, I hope it blesses you. So it's called Loved as I Am.
Sister Miriam James Heidland, thank you so much for all that you do. And I know a lot of it comes from, like you said, your own journey, your own healing, and you're still on that journey as we all are. So continue to bless people. And like you said, your deepest desire is to draw people to Christ. You're doing just that. So thank you so much.
Oh, amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jerry. It's been delightful to be with all of you today.
Yeah. I will be with you tomorrow, again on Catholic Answers Live, filling in for Cy, who will be back on Friday. And tomorrow, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's 2 hours with Jimmy Akin of Q&A Open Forum. I know it's 2 hours of Q&A Open Forum, and I just got confirmation. It is with Catholic Answers Senior Apologist Jimmy Akin. So we hope that you will join us for that tomorrow. On my regular program with my co-host Debbie Giorgiani, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We air at noon Eastern Time and also a replay at midnight Eastern Time on most of these same EWTN radio stations. We did a topic today of domestic violence, people sharing their experiences, including their healing, and many unbelievable stories. In fact, it was so impactful that, as we occasionally do, we decided to do a part two on that topic tomorrow. So I really invite all of you who can to tune in. It was a very moving program today, and I'm sure that it will be again tomorrow. That's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern Time on most of these same EWTN radio stations. Don't forget, Jimmy Akin is going to be on EWTN Live, and if you get EWTN Television, watch it on TV. If not, I think it comes on right after this program with Father Mitch Packwood. They're going to discuss Jimmy's latest book, The Bible is a Catholic Book, so don't miss that. I'm Jerry Usher, wishing you a blessed evening. God bless.